Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey, Central Jersey on the Jersey Shore. What I enjoy about doing this program is that I'm not held hostage to reporting on the latest headlines in the news. The main purpose of this program is to teach God's people the Bible. The news is only used as needed to illustrate God's truth. And it's God's truth we need to hear. The news is worthless if it doesn't lead us to consider the Word of God. Psalm 119:24, your testimonies also are my delight. They're my counselors. And a focus on the Word of God is a very rare approach in all of the political punditry of our day. Now, for this week's program, I want us to see that the Bible explains the core problem of the world as unbelief. On social media, someone asked me the question, what is my response to the plague of woke madness? If you're not familiar with wokeism, it's the new leftist enlightenment that sees truth as a human construct and traditional morality as oppressive. Someone posted that the reason for it is Marxism, which is true. But why the Marxism? Well, I responded by explaining that I believe this is prophetic, that at the end of this age, as God removes his restraint on mankind, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the unsaved who have been submitting to Christian morality for the last two millenniums during the church age are now waking up and realizing that they don't believe in or desire the ways of God. Wokeism is the final practical application of atheism. And this is man's natural, intrinsic enmity against God coming to the surface, as prophesied. This age will end with a great outbreak of evil, because God removes his hand of restraint upon this unsaved world. And so the attitudes and the ideologies of this world become anti-God, and this brings in the Antichrist and the apocalypse. There have been other times in which evil has taken over certain countries, but what's happening right now is global. How long this process will play out, we don't know. Our job is simply to continue to win souls for the kingdom of Christ. Is it important to understand these things? Absolutely. The Apostle Paul thought it important that God's people know this. That's why we have these prophetic texts in the New Testament. We should understand the whys and wherefores of what's happening in this world. And these truths certainly need to be included in our witness. For people need to know what they're to repent of and what they're to turn to. But the point of this program is to point out how the Bible cuts through all of these peripheral arguments and reasons for current day rejection of God and his truth and gets to the root cause, that this is unbelief. The politicians are doing what they're doing because of unbelief. The abortion movement is doing what it's doing because of unbelief. The LGBTQ movement is doing what it's doing because of unbelief. CRT, wokeism, Marxism is all rooted in unbelief. These people do not believe God. Now, this is not what the media or even conservative media is addressing as the problem in America. You know, instead, the problem is explained as uninformed voters, low information voters, leftism, entitlements, big government, racism, etc. But the Bible boils it all down. The Bible puts the axe at the root of the tree and calls it unbelief. Even the Christian Russian dissident, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, when asked why has all this happened in Russia, Solzhenitsyn said, because men have forgotten God. And that kind of puts a nice face on the problem, that we have simply forgotten about God, but the problem is far worse. It's not a memory problem. The Bible explains it as men have chosen not to believe God. It's not that they forgot him. It's that they don't want him. So let's look at some texts of Scripture, and then we'll break down the meaning of unbelief. And the key text would be Hebrews 3, 18 and 19. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. And this comes from two texts in the Old Testament referring to Israel's unbelief in God. Psalm 95, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said that there are people who err in their heart and do not know my ways. Therefore I swore my anger, truly they shall not enter my rest. And also Psalm 106, they despised the pleasant land, they did not believe in his word, but grumbled in their hearts, they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Therefore he swore to them that he would cast them down in the wilderness. And this indictment of unbelief is throughout the Old Testament. Psalm 78:22, because they didn't believe in God and didn't trust his salvation. Or 2 Kings 17:14, however, they did not listen, but stiffened their necks like their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. And the same is also true in the New Testament. Jude chapter 5. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And the apocalyptic judgments that will come upon the world are due to mankind's unbelief. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. In order that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. And in the Gospels, we frequently read about belief versus unbelief. Matthew 13, 58, and Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And Mark 6, 6, and Jesus wondered at their unbelief. Now, out of all of the Gospels, the Gospel of John most focuses on this issue of belief or unbelief. Whereas in Matthew, Mark, and Luke combined, the mention of the word belief or unbelief is only 34 times. The Gospel of John mentions belief over 100 times. John 5:38, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. John 6:36, but I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. John 8:45, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. John 8:46, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? John 10:26, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. John 12:39, for this reason they could not believe. John 12:46, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. John 16:9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Now moving to the book of Acts, Acts 28:24, some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. In Acts 16:31, to the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. In Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And the famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the way to salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Like John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not come into judgment, but will pass from death into life. So notice the key issue is belief or unbelief. Belief is salvation. Unbelief is damnation. Unbelief is the problem. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, in defining belief or unbelief, we must first define the object of belief. It's called in the Bible an unbelief in God, but it's also an unbelief in his word. As in Psalm 106, they did not believe his word. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they were judged because they didn't believe the truth. There is a doctrinal content to belief. Oh yes, many people have a belief in the existence of God, but not a belief in his moral standards or his moral authority over mankind. Think of Satan and his rebellion. Certainly he believed in the existence of God, but he didn't believe in God's right to rule. And so there are many unsaved believers in the existence of God. But they're unsaved because they don't believe in God's right to rule. They don't believe in his moral truth. Instead, these people believe in a God, but also their own moral and ideological autonomy from God. So they're really unbelievers. See, in the Bible, belief in the moral standards of God are synonymous with a belief in God. You can't say you believe in God and not believe in his moral standards or his way to salvation, because then the God you believe in is some other God, not the true God. And this brings us to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make for yourself an idol to worship, for those who do such things are those who hate me. So that's why they make up a new God with a different moral code to replace the true God. So biblically, unbelief does not merely include a disbelief in God's existence, but is actually an unbelief in God's authority. People are living in unbelief, but unbelief in what? The sovereignty of God. You know, as a new Christian, I read the Bible and all of these texts about belief and unbelief, and I often wondered how this is the main issue. Because isn't the problem rebellion? Isn't the problem the will of man? Did Satan rebel against God or not believe in God? Did Adam and Eve rebel against God or not believe in God? Well, it's both. And this is where we need to understand the meaning of this word belief. The word belief is used 253 times in the New Testament, and the similar word faith is used 296 times. The word faith in the Greek, pistis, means to be persuaded of something, as in I have faith or persuasion or confidence. The word belief, the Greek word pistuo, means to have trust. We too often think of unbelief as merely a lack of evidence, such as in a legal trial. The jury might not believe the prosecution because there's not enough evidence. So it's not so much a moral choice, but an intellectual, logical choice. And of course, this is what atheists will claim, that they're unbelievers because of a lack of evidence. But the Bible explains unbelief as being both an intellectual choice and a moral choice. We choose not to trust or have confidence in God. If I say, I don't believe in you, of course I believe in your existence. But what I'm actually saying is I don't trust you. I don't want to follow you because I don't believe in what you stand for or teach. I don't believe in you as a leader. And that's the biblical meaning of this word belief. It's not just about an intellectual consent of God's existence. That's part of it. But it's about an unwillingness to follow God, not wanting to believe in his authority or his ways. And we need to explain that to people. Now, as far as an intellectual belief in God's existence or non-existence, that follows a moral choice. First comes the moral choice against God, not really desiring God. Then what follows is a disbelief in God's existence, which is a cover or a smokescreen for that moral choice. It's really summed up in the atheist's complaint, "There is no God, and I hate him." It's a hatred for God that causes the mind to discount the existence of God, because people just can't live with that cognitive dissonance. We disbelieve because we don't want to believe. It's a moral choice. Let's say someone doesn't want to believe a certain immoral activity is sin. Well, that choice will blind the mind so that that person will believe the reason for their unbelief is intellectual logic, when actually it's being driven by a moral decision, not the evidence, not the facts. And there are many texts in Scripture that explain this. Just one in particular would be John 17:17. Jesus said, "If anyone's willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it's of God or whether I speak for myself." Notice that Jesus said the will comes before the acknowledgement of the truth of the teaching. We're not as objective as we think we are. We believe what we want to believe. We believe that which stokes our ego, that which will exonerate or suppress our guilt. And this is the reason for the popularity of false teachers and false religions and the philosophies and the ideologies of men. 2 Timothy chapter 4, people will accumulate to themselves teachers and teachings in accordance with their own desires. And unbelief actually comes before Darwinism. Darwinism spread like wildfire because it was a convenient excuse, a support for the unbelief, or rather the unwillingness that was already in the world. I just recently read a celebrity media post concerning LGBTQ. And this individual said that the problem with those who are opposed to the LGBTQ agenda is that people can't accept that this is a personal choice. Well, is that really the problem? The problem is that people think sexual morality is a personal choice because they don't believe in God's moral standards. They don't believe biblical morality represents God's true position. They have a different God. And they're not believing in the true God. They're believing in man. And they're believing in their own lusts. This battle in the world is between belief and unbelief. You know, the same is also true for abortionists. It's a disbelief in God and his moral character and his authority, and a contrary belief in woman's autonomy from God's law, a belief in a woman's right to kill another person if it inconveniences her. When the teaching of the Word of God was declared unconstitutional in public schools, it was because of unbelief among the people in America. All the arguments about separation of church and state or pluralism would not have mattered if people would have believed in God and his truth. Nobody would throw math or science or reading, writing, arithmetic out of public schools, even if someone was offended, because those subjects are considered truth, or at least they were 40 years ago. But the Bible was considered a non-truth, and that's why it was removed. That's the only reason. Everything else is smoke screens and justification. The reason for the moral decline in America, the reason for the apostasy, the lawlessness, is unbelief. As in Hebrews chapter 3, they could not enter in because of unbelief. The reason why your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors do not come to Christ is unbelief. The reason why they don't go to church is because of unbelief. Hey, if I didn't believe in you, I wouldn't come to your house either. I wouldn't listen to your teaching. And remember, it's not just unbelief in God. What follows is that if there is no God, or if God is not trusted, then belief and trust has to be in oneself, because all that's left is man. As in the popular slogan today, believe in yourself. So the apostasy in this world is a disbelief in God and a belief in humanism, where man is God. And again, this is the battle of the ages. And this is what we must explain in our witness to unbelievers, to help them to get past all of the petty issues and the arguments, and to help them to see what the real issue is. Are they going to believe in God or are they going to believe in man? The issue is whether we'll bow the knee to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous 19th century pastor in London, wrote the following about the sovereignty of God. Quote, "There is no attribute of God more comforting to his children than the doctrine of divine sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe troubles, they believe that sovereignty has ordained their afflictions, that sovereignty overrules them, and that sovereignty will sanctify them all. There is nothing for which the children of God ought more earnestly to contend for than the dominion of their master over all creation, the kingship of God over all the works of his own hands, the throne of God and his right to sit upon that throne. On the other hand, there is no doctrine more hated by the people of this world, no truth of which they want to kick more, have made such a football, as the great, stupendous, and yet most certain doctrine of the sovereignty of infinite Jehovah. Men will allow God to be everywhere except on his throne. They will allow him to be in his workshop, to fashion worlds and to make stars. They will allow him to be in his treasury to dispense alms and bestow his bounties. They will allow him to sustain the earth and bear up the pillars thereof, or light the lamps of heaven, or rule the waves of the ever-moving sea. But when God ascends his throne, his creatures then gnash their teeth. And when we proclaim and enthrone God and his right to do as he wills with his own, to dispose of his creatures as he thinks well, without consulting them in the matter, then we're hissed at. And then it is that men turn a deaf ear to us, for God on his throne is not the God they love. They love him anywhere better than they do when he sits with his scepter in his hand and his crown upon his head. But it is God upon the throne that we love to preach, and it's God upon his throne whom we trust and believe." Charles Haddon Spurgeon, 1880. So in conclusion, salvation is believing in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just his existence, but his rule, his law, his authority, his sovereignty. Is this important to know? Yes, we must be able to tell our fellow countrymen what is the essence of salvation, what they must actually do and believe to be saved, what it actually means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so as to be saved. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all of the links to the extended video version of this program. The email for correspondence is godandcountryradio@verizon.net. We'd love to hear from you. And the church website is harborbible.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers and support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, this is such a simple message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But it's so deep and profound in the explaining of the exact object of that belief and faith. Give your people the wisdom to explain to this generation this need to believe in God and to bow the knee to Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.